Hear from John Curry at 440 and 510. 440, what would K-State do if the Big 12 does implode at some point down the road? And 510, how often is John Curry thinking about replacing Bill Snyder? But for now, a lot happened this weekend, and we'll go through it with the weekend headlines. All right, weekend headlines, let's get to it. You mentioned it in the opener. The shot heard around the world. A right hand to the chin of Jose Bautista. The brawl broke out with two outs in the eighth inning, but there are plenty of storylines, no doubt about it, from it. This kind of boils back from last year's American League Divisional Series between these two. Of course, Jose Bautista had the big-time bat flip. Rangers didn't take exception to that. You had Rougned Odor and Bautista getting into it.
Beltre ducked off a drop top hop, and the throw is wide down the line, and there we go, 5 seconds. Bautista picked up the wrong guy as Odor came right at him, and we got the benches empty in that.
Basically, the shot heard around the world. Benches were cleared, and now it's just a waiting game to see what happens in terms of what Major League Baseball is going to do with this.
Yeah, we know there's going to be a lot of suspensions handed down, but here's where I'll break this out, and I feel like this is where I'll disagree with a lot of people. But outside of just being enthralled by everything that was happening and not being able to believe what was happening, I was the most amazed by the way Jose Bautista took that punch. And he didn't fall down. He didn't break his jaw. He's not in a hospital somewhere. He staggered off for a little bit, but stayed on his feet. And was just standing there still talking, was fine, lived to tell the tale, you know? And then he even went into post-game and was answering questions, didn't have a giant ice pack on his face or anything like that. I gained a lot more respect for Jose Bautista after this whole incident by watching him take a punch and live to tell about it the way he did. Because somebody that runs his mouth the way that Bautista does, and somebody that acts the way that Bautista does, I would expect, typically, to be all talk and not be able to actually back it up and deliver. And you know what? The guy took a huge shot, which he has to know at some point was going to be coming the way that he acts and carries himself. And he took it fine and handled it and moved on. I will actually give Jose Bautista a lot of credit for that.
You know, later on in the show, we're going to be talking about whether the punch should be different because it was landed versus a lot of times, including last year with Edison Volquez, he threw a punch that didn't land and he got a suspension. Should there be a difference there? Here's another curveball I'll throw at you. If that punch does break Jose Bautista's jaw or he's bloodied up and it's really bad that he needs to get medical attention on the field or something like that, does that make it so much worse that the suspension would have been worse for Odor? You see what I'm saying there? What if he gets knocked out cold and they have to bring out a stretcher or something like that? I mean, it could have been worse in terms of the suspensions.
Those are questions that they have to answer.
How surprised were you that Odor would throw a punch like that?
Pretty surprised. You know, obviously that's the only reason why he got me, and he got me pretty good, so I have to give him that. But takes a little bit of a bigger man, I guess, to knock me down.
You know what? You take a punch like that, and you don't get knocked down.
He doesn't have the most masculine voice for what it's
worth.
No,
he doesn't. But I say, Bautista, keep going, man. And listen to that. If I got hit like that in the face, my voice would not sound like it is right now, answering questions 30 minutes later or whatever that was for Bautista, man. I gained respect for him. You can answer our Twitter poll question with that same question at the Game 1350 right now.
Storyline number two, and this has been in the works for some time, but apparently it's in full motion. Logos on NBA jerseys. It was inevitable. It's going to happen one way or another. The NBA Board of Governors approving jersey sponsors back in April. Logos are going to appear on jerseys at the start of the 2017-2018 season. The sponsorship logos will be a small 2.5 inches by 2.5 inches patch that will be displayed on the left shoulder of the jerseys. Today we got the first look as the Philadelphia 76ers of all teams became the first team to land a sponsorship. StubHub, the online ticket reseller, will be sponsoring the 76ers. Their logo will appear on their team's uniforms at the start of the 2017-18 season.
I'll admit, having seen them, the patch was a lot smaller than I thought it would be. It's really not that intrusive, but my problem with that is it's really a slippery slope thing. You know, you start doing it once, you're going to end up with a bunch of different sponsors everywhere and bigger sponsors, and all of a sudden you're going to be like the European basketball teams that you see with the advertisements everywhere. We hate European sports here in America, right? We don't like soccer, and our basketball is
Speak
better
for
than
yourself.
European basketball. Well, you're turning into European sports here if you're going to start going down this road of having sponsors being allowed all over the jerseys and stuff. I don't like the route that that's headed down just because of the way it's going to end up making stuff look. And the other problem, and you know this, with soccer uniforms, what happens? They change sponsors every year, and then you got to go, if you're a fan of the team, you got to go buy a different jersey because the main sponsor that's on the front of the jersey changes and it looks completely different, and you got to go buy a new $80 jersey every single year. Yeah. So you're going to go down a road that I think fans really won't like.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was inevitable. You know, it wasn't that long ago that stadium names didn't feature, the name of a certain company. Back probably 20 years ago, we didn't have a lot of those, but now every new stadium that gets built is called insert brand name here stadium or arena or fieldhouse or whatever you want to call it.
KFC Yum Center.
There you go. And so, you know, it's just the progression of the realization in American sports where there's money to be made, that money is going to be made. And I think you're right in terms of how it's going to progress quite literally more and more on the jerseys. The patches are going to get bigger and all that kind of thing. So it's disappointing for sure.
So Jason Day went wire to wire. That's just a little tidbit. But how badly does golf need Tiger Woods back in the fold? So Tiger, a return may be coming sooner rather than later. Doesn't sound like much because right now Jason Day playing like what Tiger used to do and just absolutely dominate the sport. But Tiger Woods hinting a little more strongly than usual that his return here in 2016 as he addressed the media at Congressional Country Club in Maryland. Earlier today, he was attending Quicken Loans National Media Day on behalf of his foundation, which helps host the tournaments. Woods' appearance in the actual tournament, which takes place the week after the U.S. Open, will be his first since nearly winning the Wyndham Championship last August. His last three appearances in the Quicken Loans National, tied for 18th, missed the cut, and a win.
I've been practicing at home, and I'm progressing nicely. I'm hoping to play. I don't know. I'm going to play. That's the overriding question I keep hearing. When are you coming back? When are you playing? And I get it all the time. And if I knew, I'd tell you.
Well, Tiger definitely needs to be playing for somebody like me to be really interested in what's happening in golf every weekend because I'm a pretty casual golf fan as far as that goes. But I'm still amazed that this gets as much coverage as it does at this point. SportsCenter was going live to his press conference this morning, and I know he's still got the name value, and the scandal honestly probably helps in keeping him relevant, but I'm just at the point where I will believe it when I see it if Tiger's actually going to be in contention in a major or something important here in the near future, because to me, Tiger's dead as far as I'm concerned being a major player on the golf scene.
Yeah, I think he is too, and I'm sad to say that because I've been a Tiger fan and he's absolutely raised my interest in tuning in and watching golf that isn't just like the four majors. I've always been interested in watching those regardless of if he's in it or not. But those other tournaments, those were the only reasons, or he was the only reason that I tuned into those. And I don't think he's coming back to his full capacity. And as he gets more and more separated from his glory days, I think fewer and fewer people are going to tune in just to watch him, because at the end of the day, you're seeing a guy go out there and shoot three over par and not be in contention with anything that he plays in. And that's really not that exciting, even if you get to see him throw his club or swear into a camera or something like that.
Well, again, mentioning Jason Day going wire to wire. Also should throw out Topeka native Gary Woodland finished in the top 30 at 3-under par. Former K-State golfer Robert Streb didn't make the cut, went 71-74 on Friday and Saturday. Finally, the NBA playoffs finally down to the final four. The conference finals are set. After the final game was punched in Game 7, the Toronto Raptors will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
History has been made. The Toronto Raptors are going to dance into the Eastern Conference final against the Cleveland Cavaliers. They win Game 7 at home.
So it sets up 1v2 in the East, Cavs and Raptors, and 1v3 in the West, defending champs Golden State versus Oklahoma City. The action begins tonight, Game 1 between the Thunder and the Warriors, Game 1 between the Cavs and Raptors tomorrow night.
I said it last week, the NBA playoffs typically have it right, much like the NCAA tournament, where eventually as things move forward, you get better matchups here. The NBA always seems to have the cream of the crop playing because of the way that things set up with having to play the long series. You typically are going to get the best teams. This really starts my NBA viewing. I really don't pay any attention to the NBA until you get down to the finals and the conference finals here, because the cream has risen to the top, and just by virtue of the sports time that it is, I mean, it leaves more time for me to actually view it. So I'll say that. I will also add that I'm glad to see Oklahoma City against Golden State, because I'd rather watch that than the Spurs. I know that's probably an unpopular opinion with most people that really like the NBA, but the Spurs, well, great and well respected by me, don't do it for me. They're boring. I'd rather watch Russell Westbrook, who, by the way, said that Steph Curry was just a shooter, nothing he hasn't seen before. So if that's not adding a little intrigue and some storyline to the series, I don't know what does.
The Western Finals will be a lot better than the Eastern Finals, but I think that the Western Finals, even in being better, will only go maybe 5 or 6 games, because I don't think the Golden State Warriors will have too tough of a time with the Thunder. But I'm really bummed that it's the Raptors that won in Game 7 instead of the Heat. I would have loved to see LeBron go against his former team. Dwayne Wade, even at his age, had been exceptional this season and in these playoffs. And there just isn't that star power with the Raptors. I mean, I just expect the Cavaliers to really roll them in just a few games. And I don't know. That's not really a series that interests me all that much.
Brandon, you're the NBA guy. What are your thoughts here on the?
Well, I told you earlier that the Thunder Warrior series, if you're any kind of casual basketball fan, it's must see TV. I mean, it should be epic. Everybody's just writing off the Thunder, though, man. Like, I'm not putting my money on the Thunder.
They're not going to win on the road. They just can't get it done on the road, I don't think.
They just beat the Spurs on the road.
They beat them twice
on
the road.
Saying,
San Antonio lost one game all year.
Yes,
they were like 41-1 at home.
But who was even better than that? The Warriors. I'm telling you that the Thunder are not going to go into the Oracle and win. It's not going to happen.
Man, I don't know. I think winning twice at San Antonio.
You're underestimating the star power that Oklahoma City has.
Proud of
myself. And it's going to be a great series.
My NBA knowledge.
I'll take Golden State in 7.
For knowing all this about the road wins in the NBA.
Name a Thunder player that isn't Westbrook or Durant.
Cephalosha?
No. I don't think Cephalosha's in the league anymore.
Kendrick Perkins?
No, he's struggling for a roster spot. I can name every player on
Serge Ibaka's not there anymore, right?
He's still there.
No, he's still there. Oh, you're 0 for 3.
Well, dang it. Ibaka was my first thought, so I was
Serge Ibaka. He's around.
I thought he was somewhere else. All right.
There you go.
There goes my NBA knowledge. Coming up next, John Curry spoke with the media today for about an hour and a half. What's K-State going to do if the Big 12 blows up? I'll tell you what John Curry had to say about that next year on The Game.